Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you that we're in your house once again this day. And Father, we thank you that we aren't having earthquakes and tornadoes. And Father God, that you're keeping us safe from all harm. We thank you for angelic hosts who are here, Father God, walking to and fro throughout the sanctuary, ministering to your people. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, who leads, guides, and directs us in all truth. We thank you for your word, Father God, that's rich and full and teaches us how to live each and every second of each and every day. And Father, the people came out to sit at your table this morning. Let them be fed fresh manna from heaven and let them leave here filled, full of your word, changed and rearranged. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just glad I'm not in California, but we don't know when, you know, it's going to strike, where it's going to strike. But I was, he said, is this the big earthquake? When the first one hit, I wonder what he said when the second one hit. But, you know, I was glad to see somebody else talks about the earthquake. But when it comes, it's going to split the United States, according to what God has said. But in the meantime, we have to be about the Father's business. We have to be doing what the Father is commanding us to do, and that is to take the gospel to a lost and dying generation of people. And the only way you can do that is by letting God lead, guide, and direct you in all truth. All right. God said, the title to this is Whatever the Father Says. All right? I want you to listen to this. My people need to stop speaking out of their own flesh. They must at all costs speak only what they hear me saying. There's too many people going out there giving your advice, and you're destroying people. God said, there is so much at stake here, and the enemy is drawing on your pride to cause you to step into yourself and speak from your flesh and destroy the true works. I want to read that again. Does that little girl have to sit down, or what is she doing? Is she going upstairs or what? Oh, okay. All right. God said, my people need to stop speaking out of their own flesh. They must at all costs speak only what they hear me saying. There is so much at stake here, and the enemy is drawing on your pride to cause you to step into yourself and speak from your flesh and destroy the true works. God said, I have called you to adhere to my words that I speak. I have said in my word that I speak in a still small voice. But so many of you want me to shout it from the rooftops for all to hear, but that is not the way it works out. Then God said, read what my word says, but I want to stop here. If you're a prophet, people are going to draw on you, and that's fine. But I've been dealing with somebody for over 10 years, maybe 15 now. The last two times they called my house, God said, do not answer that phone. They are relying on you to tell them how to live, you know, through God. And he said, but they are not following what I'm telling them to do. So I want them to learn what it is like not to hear the Father's voice anymore. And so I didn't answer the phone the two times. I'm curious to what they wanted, but they always want to hear from God. But God said, enough is enough. And you have to know when to step back too, because people must, what if you died? People must learn to hear God's voice for themselves. Or if you're going to draw on a prophet, then do what the prophet's telling you to do, because if you're drawing on that prophet, then you're trusting that prophet to hear God's voice. All right? And then do what that prophet's telling you to do. So let's read. So God said that he speaks in a still small voice. Let's read 1 Kings 19:11 through 13. All right, so how many of you, when you first got saved, you wanted to hear God? You wanted to see the thunder and the lightning and hear him shout? I did. And this is when God first gave me this scripture. So 1 Kings 19:11 says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go stand in front of me on the mountain. I, the Lord, will pass by you. Then a very strong wind blew. The wind caused the mountains to break apart. It broke large rocks in front of the Lord, but that wind was not the Lord. After that wind, there was an earthquake, but that earthquake was not the Lord. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but that fire was not the Lord. See that? After the fire, there was a quiet, gentle voice. When Elijah heard the voice, he used his coat to cover his face and went to the entrance to the cave and stood there. Then a voice said to him, Elijah, why are you here? When God spoke to Elijah on Mount Horeb, he could have done so in the wind, the earthquake, or fire, but he didn't. He spoke with a still, small voice. Right now, that's why we're having all the earthquakes. Maybe that's why we're having all the tornadoes. I don't know. It could be that the church has not been listening to the still small voice, so God has to get our attention some way or other. Amen. God said, I will only speak in a still small voice because I need you to be listening very closely for my voice, and I need you standing close to me in perfect intimacy. You need to shut out the clamor of the world, and you need to bring in my presence, and it is in bringing yourself into my presence that you will hear the slightest whisper from my lips. The reason why a lot of people are not hearing the voice of God is because you're not shutting out the world. You're still wanting the world and to hear God's voice too, and it doesn't work that way. You're going to have to die out to your flesh. You're going to have to drop the things of the world in order for God to continually speak to you. God said, children, you need to understand that I have always called you to be just like my son Jesus and to accomplish the same things my son Jesus accomplished. You see that? You need to understand that I have always called you to be just like my son Jesus and to accomplish the same things my son Jesus accomplished. In order for my son to accomplish the things I sent him to earth to accomplish, he had to spend time in my presence, listening for the instructions for each and every day and each and every given situation. You are no different. You must do the very same thing. I didn't tell you to quit your job and go sit in a cave. This isn't what God's saying. You can be working a job, you can be doing your job, and still have your ears in tune to that still, small voice. I've did it for years. And you can hear God speak even through your workplace, in your workplace. All right, God said, question, when was the last time you came to the mountaintop and sat in my presence to get my instructions before making any decision or helping your brother or sister? When was the last time you went to hear God's voice before you tried to help your brother or your sister? God said, if you will ask of me, I will give you all wisdom. I will explain even the finest details of any given situation. If you will ask of me, I will give you all wisdom. I will explain even the finest details of any given situation. Many people, call me, and they say, I really need, that's the first thing they say, I need to hear from God. So I immediately, start tuning my ears into the voice of God. And then as they speak, then they're speaking, then either I hear God or I don't hear God. And if I hear God, I'll say, stop, this is what I'm hearing. And then I tell them what God is saying. But then, they might go through their whole discussion and I'm saying, I don't hear not one word, but I will pray. And when I hear, I will get back with you. There's other times when I'm just doing something around the house, and all of a sudden God will give me a name. Then he said, now I want to speak to them. He says, go to your computer. So I run into go up to the computer, and I sit down, and he starts giving me a message for somebody. And maybe that's somebody, I do know sometimes people who are wanting to hear from God. And so then God will give me the message, the word thing. And every time it's the right on word, it's exactly what they needed to hear. And I don't know anything about some of these people. Are you listening? You don't have to conjure up God's word. And if God isn't speaking, I'm asking you to please shut your mouth. Because what you're doing is you're destroying lives by giving them what you think they need to hear. John 12:44, then Jesus said loudly, "Everyone who believes in me is really believing in the one who sent me. And who sent him? The Father. Everyone who sees me is really seeing the one who sent me." It was the Father. Remember that. Jesus said, I came into this world as a light. I came so that everyone who believes in me will not stay in darkness. I did not come into the world. Now see what he says here. I came into this world as a light. I came so that everyone who believes in me. People who will not believe in Jesus will stay in the darkness. They will not never see the light. He says, I came so that everyone who believes in me will not stay in darkness. I did not come into the world to judge people. I come to save the people in the world. Hear that? So I am not the one who judges those who hear my teaching and do not obey. In other words, Jesus is saying, when I teach, and if they don't obey my word, I don't judge them. And then verse 48 says, but there is a judge for all those who refuse to believe in me and do not accept what I say. The message I have spoken will judge them on the last day. That is because what I taught was not from myself, period. See that? The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. The Father who sent me told me what to say and what to teach. And I know that whatever he says to do will bring eternal life. So the things I say are exactly what the Father told me to say. You have to understand that if you're really walking close to God and if you're really called of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you will hear God's voice. And you need to understand that, you know, you'll be saying one thing, but all of a sudden God starts saying something different. And you're saying to yourself, what are you doing here, Father? But see, you have to allow him to say whatever he desires to say. It's not up to you to tell God what to tell the people. It's up to God. When God gives me these words, he also tells me what scriptures to put with them. We are doing what I do, whatever the Father tells me to say. Too many in the body of Christ don't do that. They want to be recognized. They want to be held in high esteem. So they put together a good message from their mind, and it doesn't do anything, period. And as long as you're not speaking sin, you have a whole church full of people just dying to go to hell. But when you start really walking in the Spirit and you start speaking what God has you to say, you're going to find out you're going to upset a whole lot of people, religious people. But that is soon going to change because God is getting rid of, he's shaking the church. He's getting rid of those who don't want to hear the true gospel. He's moving them out of churches. He's moving them around because he is separating the wheat from the tare. And he's going to have a church that's full of his Spirit. He's going to have people who really want to hear his truth and his word. And those people will be walking in total unity, and he's getting all the discord out of the body of Christ. Those churches are the ones that God's going to use to drop his glory into, and he's going to use the people in those churches to minister to the lost and dying that he's going to send into the house of God. Are you listening here? The word of God says, do not despise small beginnings. You might start out with one or two people. And as you show yourself faithful to God, he will increase. All right. So where are we at? John 5:16. Jesus was doing all this on the Sabbath day. So these Jews began trying to make him stop. But Jesus said to them, my Father never stops working. And so I work too. Jesus was healing the people. So what did he say? My Father never stops working, and so I work too. We should say Jesus never stopped working, because we read where God wants us to be like Jesus. So therefore, I don't stop working either. This made them try harder to kill him, talking about Jesus. And they said, first this man was breaking the law about the Sabbath day. Then he said that God is his Father. He is making himself equal with God. Hey, we're making ourselves equal with Jesus, right? Because the Father said, you have to be like my son, Jesus. But Jesus answered, I assure you that the Son can do nothing alone. He does only what he sees his Father doing, and the Son does the same thing that the Father does. This is why God told me to get in the Word and read everything about Jesus and then do what Jesus did. So you need to get in. If you're walking in the Spirit and going to minister to people, you need to get in the Word and see what Jesus did and then do the very same things that Jesus did. If you want to know what God did, get in the Old Testament and see what God did there and see what God does with you. And verse 20 says, the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. You see that? The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. So if God loves you, if you love God and you're working with God with all your heart, then God loves you with all of his being. And he's going to show you things that he does. Jesus said, this man was healed, but the Father will show the Son greater things than this to do. Then you will all be amazed. So what did Jesus say? But the Father will show the Son, and who's the Son? Jesus. Greater things, that really stood out to me, than this to do. So what did Jesus say we were going to do? Greater things than Jesus did. So Jesus was saying that God told him he was going to do greater things than God did. So we're going to do greater things than Jesus did according to the Word. And Jesus said, the Father raises the dead and gives them life. In the same way, the Son gives life to those he wants to. So, okay, then we know that Jesus was talking about salvation, but we know that Jesus raised the dead. So why can't we raise the dead? Is it because you can't believe for that? You have to ask yourselves these questions. You're professing to be a leader. You're professing to love God, professing to be full of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is in there working in you. Then why aren't you raising the dead? I just want you to stop and think about this. Because whatever God's word says you can do, you can do. And John 8:26 says, I have much more I could say to judge you, Jesus speaking, but I tell people only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he speaks the truth. Look what Jesus said. I have much more I could say to judge you. And see, this is why you might know something about somebody. God might show you something about somebody, but you need to keep your mouth shut, just like Jesus did. And Jesus says, but I tell people only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he speaks the truth. So even though, you know, like I told you one time, God told me about a person that was walking up to me, but God never said that to the person. And I asked him why. He said, I just wanted you to know what that person was all about. I was trying to build them up, but I wanted you to know what was going on. Now, see, I could have in my flesh said, well, God just showed me, and I would have destroyed everything God was trying to do in that person. But if God really trusts you, he will show you what's going on in a person's life. But it's not for you to judge them. It's for you to uphold them, pray for them, and love them, and bring them through their hard times. Then verse 27 says, they did not understand who Jesus was talking about. He was telling them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, you will lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. You will know that whatever I do is not by my own authority. You will know that I say only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. I always do what pleases him, so he has not left me alone. I'll read that to you again. Jesus said, the one who sent me is with me. I always do what pleases him, so he has not left me alone. Now, Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. So no matter what people are saying about you, if God is telling you to say or do something, you have to do that thing so you are pleasing Jesus. All right. And if you're pleasing Jesus, then Jesus said here that his Father will not leave him alone. So if you are doing exactly what God is telling you to do, not what you want to do or not mixture, if you're doing exactly what God is telling you to do, he is never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is always going to be with you no matter where he sends you to minister. Are you listening here? You know, some people in the body of Christ who are leaders, they get so distraught and so befuddled they don't know what they're doing themselves because somebody comes against them. Let them alone. You just keep doing what God's telling you to do. And if you really trust God, you put them in his hands. He will take care of that situation. And you won't have to get upset. So verse 30 says, while Jesus was saying these things, many people believed in him. If you really, 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 really walk the walk with Jesus, even if people don't like what you say or what you do, they're going to start believing in Jesus that's in you. They're going to start believing there really is a Holy Spirit. They're going to start believing that miracles really do happen. And it's going to draw them to the cross. And John 7:14 says, when the festival was about half finished, Jesus went to the temple area and began to teach. The Jewish leaders were amazed and said, how did this man learn so much? He never had the kind of teaching we had. So he didn't have doctrine. He was taught by the Holy Spirit. He was taught by the Father. Jesus answered, what I teach is not my own. My teaching comes from the one who sent me. People who really want to do what God wants will know that my teaching comes from God. They will know that this teaching is not my own. Still Jesus speaking. Jesus said, if I taught my own ideas, I would just be trying to get honor for myself. But if I am trying to bring honor to the one who sent me, I can be trusted. Anyone doing that is not going to lie. You know, you might be able to put together the best sermon in the world. But if it's just your ideas and you teach it with charisma, it is not going to last. It's not going to affect anybody. Are you listening here? See, too many of you want God to just to do this big fanfare for you, you know, and have the lightning striking and the bombs going off and put you out there. That isn't going to happen that way. God does not work that way, I'm going to tell you right now. So that's what you're expecting, because he's using your personality, and I know that your personality stinks, because some have too much pride, and some don't want to give up the world. They want the world and God, and it doesn't work that way. And what God, and he works with your personality, yes, but he's been trying to change your personality for quite some time now, and he expects you to let him change you. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 31. The one who comes from above is greater than all others. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. He talks about things that are on the earth, but the one who comes from heaven is greater than all others. He tells what he has seen and heard, but people don't accept what he says. Whoever accepts what he says has given proof that God speaks the truth. God sent him, and he tells people what God says. God gives him the Spirit fully. So the one who comes from above is greater than all others. So if we've really ascended into the third heaven, and we're really sitting at the throne of grace, and really having God lead, guide, and direct us, and we are from above. We are not down here in this earth doing earthly things. I mean, we're on earth, but we're not doing earthly things. We are not men pleasers. We are going to say what God would have us to say and just let the chips fall where they will, if you want to put it that way. Amen. There's going to be a whole lot of people surprised real soon about what's happening in their lives because they would not yield to the leading, guiding, and directing of God, and they're going to find yourself on the other side of the fence, and there's no way to get back. All right? There's a lot of, just like that, you know, God just spoke that through me. You all don't even understand how much most of the time I'm not even speaking. It's God speaking through me. He just starts speaking, and I let him say whatever he wants to say. All right? All right, now, if you're not specifically sent, and if you are deciding with your brain what to say, you are speaking from yourself and seeking your own glory. If God has not sent you and you send yourself, then you're out there by yourself. But there's a lot of pastors, like the one I first told you about, a lot of pastors who are out there by themselves, really get gleaning a lot of good things. But what are they going to do when they stand before the Father? You know, another thing you need to understand is you need to quit judging your, let's say, your family members. We all want to do that. We all tend to do that because we live with them. But you know what? You really don't know what's going on inside of their heart. You don't know the pain they've been through in their lifetime. You don't know what's going, how knotted up they are inside, and you're judging the outside, and you need to quit. And what we need to be doing is praying for those that we believe are messed up. If you believe they're messed up, then quit complaining about them. Quit going around talking about them, because that makes it worse. Pray for them. Hold them up before the Father. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, some of you you're doing wrong. Because I have a lot of people around me that are really messed up. And I could really do some dumb things. But God said, you pray for them. Because they're doing some really dumb things. And it's affecting me. God said, I'm taking care of you. I need you to stand in the gap for them. Because they can't stand in the gap. They're too messed up. They're too bound up. And you need to stand in that gap and you need to pray. And that's all you need to do is pray. He said, and I'll, if you pray properly, I'll do the rest. We need to learn to keep our two lips shut. And we need to just let God do the miracle that needs to be done. Amen. People say, you know, well, I can't stand them. I can't stand the way they act. Well, you know, right at that point, the Father can't stand you either. Because you're a professed child of God and you're coming against somebody who's bound up by the devil. All right? So I said, if you are not specifically sent and if you are deciding with your brain what to say, you are speaking from yourself and seeking your own glory. To be seeking God's glory and not your own, you must first be sent and then only speak words heard from the Spirit immediately before speaking. Just be quiet. I don't want your advice. I want whatever the Spirit of God is saying through your mouth. Jesus only spoke words, judged, and performed works as he was ordered by God. And the title of this, God made it, Whatever the Father Says. Jesus only spoke words, judged, and performed works as he was ordered by God. If the body of Christ would do this, we would see a lot of miracles happening in the church. We would see our families lined up with the Word of God, and we would be the families that God has made us to be. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. I, Paul, have been sent on a special mission by the Messiah, Jesus, planned by God himself. Hear what Paul said again. I, Paul, have been sent on a special mission by the Messiah, Jesus, planned by God himself. God planned it. Jesus sent him. See that? Paul was sent. Now, if you are speaking and or working for God without being specifically ordered in each and every word and action, you are essentially claiming that your own words and deeds are superior to what Jesus would be if he made his own decisions about what to say and do. Let's go over that again. Right now, the reason why God is saying it in his word for tonight is different too. The reason why God is saying this right now is because we're in a very strategic time frame in God's plan. If we don't learn to say what the Father says and do what the Father tells us to do, you are going to be removed from your position in God. God is not going to tolerate people being in the house of God any longer doing their own thing. And I'm hearing God saying a lot of you are lying about what you're saying God is telling you to do, because that's still your flesh and it burns bright within inside of you, and you are allowing your flesh to order your footsteps. All right. First Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 says, So when we couldn't stand being separated from you any longer and could find no way to visit you ourselves, we stayed in Athens, that's Paul speaking, and sent Timothy. See, Timothy was sent. And sent Timothy to get you up and about, cheering you on so you wouldn't be discouraged by these hard times. He's a brother and companion in the faith, God's man in spreading the message, preaching Christ. See, Paul and Silas couldn't go, so they sent Timothy, and then Timothy went there, and he encouraged him. If you read that when you go home, read 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, you will see where Timothy encouraged the people, and they were excited when he left. All right, so even, see, this is it. Paul and Silas couldn't go, so they sent somebody else in their place. That wouldn't happen in the body of Christ today. I'm the big cheese, and I want to go and do this thing. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to go do it. I want you to equip somebody else and send them to do the works. You see this? And the body of Christ has to get out of that mindset. 1 Peter, is that where I'm at? 1 Peter 4:1. No, as you continue to read the chapter, you will see that Paul sent Timothy to do more than one thing. So he did a lot of things in that chapter. So 1 Peter 4:11, Peter states, if your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. Some of you just need to quit speaking. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. You know, if your gift is serving, but you want to be up there preaching, then you're never going to do anything for God. Then it is God who will be praised, and everything through Jesus Christ, power and glory, belong to him forever and ever. Now let's read that in its context. 1 Peter 4:11, Peter states, if your gift is speaking, your words should be words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. Then it is God who will be praised, and everything through Jesus Christ, power and glory, belong to him forever and ever. That's what Peter said. So everything you do should be done like Jesus would do it. You know, when God had me wash my husband's feet and said, now you are his servant. I sure didn't know what that meant, but I sure learned what it was to be a servant when you wanted to take the water and drown them in it. Amen. Come on, but we have, you know, if you're a servant, then be a servant. And God will be with you. God will strengthen you, and he will equip you to do what you have to do. Now, a word spoken from the Spirit requires you to hear what the Spirit says to you. All and only words from him are to be spoken. You know, it's sad to say, but I do know some in the body of Christ who really do hear the Spirit of God. But I don't know, there's something wrong with them. They're so messed up that even though they are anointed, they do are led by the Spirit, they still do dumb things. And really, if you find yourself doing that, I would seek God's face. Say, why do I do dumb things? When I do hear the Spirit of God, I do prophesy. And people say that it is exactly where they're at. Then there's something still wrong with you that you need to get out of you that's keeping you from being everything God's called you for to be. John 12:50 says, Jesus said, whatever I speak is just as the Father has told me to speak. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that man is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. See that? You know, I'm called to be an evangelist, so when I go out on the road, I always have to have a piece of paper in front of me. I just do. But I never use it. Why? Because as an evangelist, God just takes over, and he doesn't care what I have written down. He just takes over, and he just starts using me to walk through the crowd and minister to them. Now here, I'm still an evangelist, but I'm also your teacher, and so I have to teach you. And so when God tells me what to say, I write it down. I couldn't remember all that. I write it down so I can teach you what he wants you to know. So Jesus said, whatever I speak is just as the Father has told me to speak. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that man is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, most everything in God comes down to hearing his still, small voice. I'm telling you, I'm saying that. He is a type of voice that we must get close to so we can hear. That, you see, if you have doubt and unbelief, you're not going to hear God's voice. Because right away, the enemy has a smoke screen up there between his voice and your ear, and you're never going to hear God. You're going to hear yourself, but you're not going to hear God. That same still, small voice is what leads us to change our lives. I said most everything in God comes down to hearing his still, small voice. He is the type of voice that we must get close to so we can hear. That same still, small voice is what leads us to change our lives. Seeing that when God spoke that to me, that changed my attitude. At Mount Oreb, God used shock and awe displays to get Elijah's attention, then spoke to him in a still, small voice. You know, use the thunder and the lightning. And then he finally used a still, small voice. See, you need to start really. You know, when God called me, you know, he said, my house, you know, this is my house. My house in order immediately, and told me exactly what I needed to do and didn't need to do, and how he was going to minister to me, and gave me every area. I knew exactly what God was going to do with me. And some of you don't know that, and some of you just need to sit quietly before the Father and ask him to give you directions on what he's going to do with you and how he's going to do it. And then you won't fall into the pits that Satan brings your way. Some people say to me, God never speaks to me, or they ask how they can hear the voice of God. How many people said to you, well, God doesn't speak to me, right? It's in stillness, not busyness, that we tune our spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. Some people say to me, God never speaks to me, or they ask, how can they hear the voice of God? It's in stillness, not busyness, that we tune our spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. And Isaiah 65:1 said, I've made myself available to those, this is God speaking, I've made myself available to those who haven't bothered to ask. You know, God's waiting for you to talk to him. He says, I'm here, ready to be found by those who haven't bothered to look. I kept saying, I'm here, I'm right here, to a nation that ignored me. And you know that the church is in such a state right now that we are the nation that has ignored God and his voice, his unctions, you know. And we need to get back to God, to the basics. And we need to only do whatever the Father tells us to do. I had told somebody that I wanted to do something for a member of their family. And 3 days ago, God says they've missed their opportunity. This is never going to take place. So now that person's going to have to wait and go around that mountain quite some time before God allows me now to speak into their lives. They didn't come when they said they were going to come. And so now God says they've missed their opportunity. So now they're going to have to wait and go around a mountain that they really don't want to go around. So you see how serious this is? And I told the person, God said I should speak to them. But it never happened. I don't really care if you speak to me or not, you know. I'm a busy person. And so whenever I say God told me that I'm supposed to speak to somebody or speak to you, then it's God. And if you really know me, I really don't like to be around people. I really don't. But, you know, that's why God uses me. I just think that people... let's just say the body of Christ. The body of Christ do stupid things, don't they? You know, and they know better. They've been with God, and you know, and they've heard God's word. They have the Bible, and they do such dumb things. I'd rather minister to a sinner who doesn't know anything because they listen, and that they grab hold of it. They might not change that instant, but they do listen, and. If you're around them very much, they'll come back and they'll say, remember when you said, they hear that. It goes into their memory bank. And they're thinking about that. I have a sinner that one day God said, I want you to go up and just wrap your arms around them. They just got off of work. They were sweaty, dirty, you know, stank, and was drinking. And God said, wrap your arms around him as tight as you can and say, I really do love you. And God loves you. And you need to get that in your spirit. And so I did that. And that person every now and then comes to me and says, remember the day that you did? That's what keeps me going, is what they say. Because when you did it, I felt the love of God. And I knew it was the truth. And this person has never heard the truth, you know, the way they were raised from 10 on up. But they said, whenever you spoke it, I knew it was the truth. Why did they know it was the truth? Because the Spirit of God spoke it. And the Spirit of God went into that person. And every time they want to give up or go too far, they hear that. And they stop. And they turn around. And they don't do what they were going to do. Twice this person was going to commit suicide. But this person heard me say, God loves you. And that's what stopped them. So I don't care what, you know, please walk in the Spirit. And I don't care what God tells you to do. Please do it. You don't know what you're doing to that person that God sends you to. You don't know how that's ministering to a person. Do you know how many people don't feel like they should even have anybody love them? Did you know how many people feel like they've gone too far, that they don't deserve love? They don't deserve anybody to look up to them? There's a whole bunch out there. There's a whole bunch sitting in the body of Christ like that. We need to be healers. We're supposed to be a hospital, not Kent General. But we're supposed to be the hospital from heaven. And we are supposed to heal, not hurt. So God is asking each and every one of you this morning to only do what the Father says. And you know, if you get upset because your mate does something to hurt you, then that's telling you that you're still walking in your flesh. Because it's not about you. It's about your assignment from God here in this earth to help that person that's hurting you, to bring them full circle around in the love of God so they can function properly. I've about said as you do, but God said say properly, because maybe they don't want to function as you do. You might be a little bit messed up yet. Now, see, what are you going to do with this message? It's from God. Are you going to stop your silliness and stop this doing what you want to do or what you want to say? Or, you know what? God just tell you this. Some of you sitting in this church this morning, God's not telling you to do something. It's what you want to do in your flesh. So you're saying, God said. He said, it's going to get you in trouble. Don't do that. If God isn't really telling you to do it, then don't do it because that's what you want to do, because you're just taking yourself right out of the grace of God. And God's saying, how many of you are willing to suffer to see a lost loved one come to complete and total salvation? In other words, be just like Jesus and love the unlovable. Get out of your flesh and get into the Spirit and let God do a perfect work within your life. If you're one of those and God wants you to come to the altar because he knows right now you don't have enough strength to do this. But if you come to the altar, God's going to equip you with the strength you're going to need to minister to the unlovable. And then you're going to see them turn around and come to God full circle. And allow God to use them as he so desires. To only do only what the Father says. Nothing more, nothing less. God wants you to let this settle into your spirit this morning. Because this is a mandate from heaven. And he's getting ready to use you to do spectacular things for him.